Sabotage in hell. That's why you think so there. Same old game that he's playing. This one's not never fair. Everybody wanna look back. Everybody wanna get out of that rival at times. Where the film gets on the phone. The name and close over there. That's right. 999, if you really want the truth now. 999, if you can't say a thing. He is Jack the Ripper. He's your Eric Brooks. Call it Maxwell. Murder for you. Maxwell got in his plan. He loves the job in his plan. Chop rock before you bought it. Since Maxwell knows you got it.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Nerdtainment Podcast. This is Tex Rich, 1974, Richard Marroquin.
This is Ruben Morales with a special appearance by the Todd.
That's me.
Mr. Todd Pavelka.
Oh, no last names, numbnuts.
Oh, well, whatever. Nobody knows what he is or who he is.
Everybody knows what he is.
He is just the Todd. But
so fucking cool he has the for his first name.
That's me.
Todd's just his middle name. Welcome to the drunk edition.
Yes, we just came back from
Ice Rays game, buddy.
Watching a hockey game, the Corpus Christi Ice Rays versus the, what was it, Fairbanks?
Fairbanks, Alaska? Yeah, Ice Dogs.
Ice Dogs. Unfortunately, our Corpus Christi team lost. They played like a bunch of pansies.
That was not hockey.
That definitely was not hockey.
That was a bunch of guys with sticks trying not to jerk each other off. That's what that shit was. Yeah, there you go, Todd.
Especially number 19. What's up with that? That dude got punked how many times?
You still going to bag on that guy?
I am going to bag on number 19. So, I mean, oh my goodness. I mean,
totally.
That dude was horrible. I mean, how do you get punked so many times and not punk somebody back?
The best part is he only came in for like 2 minutes at a time, and the coach would pull him after getting smacked.
Yeah,
after
he would get smacked, and he goes back to the bench. I was like, really? Is that all you're going to give us tonight?
You know, the fun part about that game was playing shaved and not shaved. For all you viewers out there who don't know what shaved and not shaved is you get a chick, any chick, just random chick, of the legal age, at least if you think they're the legal age, and you talk and you turn to your buddies and you guess whether they're shaved or not shaved.
And we guessed quite a few that were.
I think I'm pretty spot on.
You know what? I think you were pretty spot on.
I think I was pretty spot on. I'm pretty good when it comes to that.
But
pretty good when it comes. No, fuck you. No, I'm pretty good when it comes to the badge.
This is our kind of a drunk edition.
Yes, it is.
We're a little inebriated. We had a few Shiner Bocks.
With a few more to come.
With a few more Ziegen Bocks afterwards.
Well, you had the Ziegens. I was sticking to Miller and Blue Moon.
Yeah. You had Ziegen Bocks.
Yeah. You and Todd had Ziegen Bocks.
And sorry to my buddy Jeff Oscar out there. He loves Ziegen Bock, but he's stuck up in New York.
Fucking sucks to be you, dude.
And
fucking Yankee.
He loves Shiner Bock. He actually lived in Austin.
Ah, okay.
And
we just got a little 512 Brewing Company. That's another good brewing company.
Yes, it is.
They make good beer, man.
But he's stuck in New York, and of course, in New York, they don't know what good beers are. And if you're in New York, a bunch of you New Yorkers up there, dude. Hey, truth is the truth, buddy.
Hey, well, there's only two people listening to this, so we're...
You know what? You know what I was actually surprised about? And you were surprised as well, Ruben.
And we thank you guys very much for this.
But we had 80-something hits on our first podcast.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
I would have been happy with 2 hits, which would have just been me and Ruben. But, yeah. But hey, to those of you who listened to our first podcast, we really appreciate it. And
can't believe you actually listened to it.
Yeah.
That was an hour and a half of stammering and shit.
Just like that.
Exactly. That's the Todd for you.
And just to know that you actually listened to the whole podcast, thank you guys. We appreciate that. To our tens and tens of listeners out there. So once again, thank you guys. But like I said,
yeah, we're drunk, so we love you, man.
we were at a hockey game. We drank a little bit. We were at a restaurant after that.
We drank a little bit more.
We sat in the bar section, so we drank a little bit more. And once again, thank you for listening to this. And if you've if you've already stuck around this far, thank you guys already. Because it's gonna get pretty damn worse than what it is right now.
Yeah, you know. You listen to the first one, so you know what to expect.
But let me ask you, what you've been up to this past week, entertainment-wise?
Entertainment-wise, I played with myself quite a bit. Went to the gym. But as far as digital, really nothing going on. I was gonna go watch Skyfall, and I was gonna go watch Argo. That didn't happen. Did not get to play the Call of Duty game, or
Medal of Honor game.
See, that goes to show how much of a gamer I'm not.
Isn't that the?
Because it's at the Todd's house. That's where it's at.
The Todd's son is playing the game right now,
and he has high opinions of that game. The kid games, so.
So that's good.
That's a credible source right there.
That's good, because I plan to borrow that game, and I'll probably end up playing that game before you.
I was going to say, you and Ethan are going to play that game before I will.
Yeah, that's great. And how about you, Todd?
I have done nothing this week except work.
Except work.
No, TV, he put me to work.
No TV, no videos, no anything.
Well, thank you for supplying my unemployment check.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate
I'll
that very much.
I'll keep working hard for that.
Thank you, sir.
God bless Obama.
God bless Obama. And of course, we say that with very tongue in cheek. But
we'll go with that.
As for myself, I've been playing a lot of Dragon Age. It's a game that I've had for like about 3 years already, and it was a little bit glitchy.
Is that the one you're talking about last episode at the end there, where I thought I might like it?
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha.
And it's been a bit glitchy on my PlayStation, but...
PlayStation going out?
Actually, no. If for some reason, I don't know what happened, there's something wrong with the save data.
Really?
And
got corrupted?
Yeah, I got corrupted, and I had to reset everything. So, like, about almost 20 hours worth of gameplay
But you know what, though? That makes it fun again, because you get to start from zero and go through the whole game again.
Yes.
And you get to start... Yeah, you get... Basically, yeah, Todd's right. You get to cheat, and you know what's going to happen next. It makes the game fun again, man.
And guess what? I have no complaints about starting that game over.
That good, huh?
Yeah, it's...
Dude, let me borrow that when you're done with it. So I cannot play it.
So you cannot play it and return it to me in 3 years? Yeah. But that game's been really, really fun for me. And another game I've been playing is the Back to the Future games.
Really? Like the NES games?
Well, no, not the NES games. I did enjoy the NES games when they were out. I was one of the few of my friends that actually took the time to finish that game. But it's a game by Telltale Games. It's through the PSN network. Well, it's probably through...
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think XBL has it.
That's why you've heard it and I have it. I don't have it. Okay.
And... It's been fun. I just finished episode 2 earlier today, and it's pretty fun.
It's not episode 2, buddy. It's part 2.
No, it's actually in 5 different episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit on my face.
Yeah, there you go. How do you like that? but it's been pretty fun, so...
That's cool, man.
So I'm looking forward to finishing out the last 3 episodes, and of course, I have Walking Dead episode 5 to play also.
You know, Todd was telling me about that. No, who's telling me about what? That? Where you get to play the episodes of Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
You were telling me about. That's right. You were telling. Yeah.
New episodes they show on TV. You can download them on PSN.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And
thanks for bringing that up.
That's from Telltale also, the same maker of the Back to the Future games.
Oh, okay.
And these games are so fun. I mean, it's they actually follow the comic more, I guess.
Yes, they do.
I don't want to say follow, but it complements the comic more.
Fair enough.
But that's what I've been up to recently. And, of course, I think I told you earlier this week, I listened. Okay, guys, you may judge me for this, but I don't care. I listened to the One Direction CD.
Yeah, you're going to get judged for that.
Yeah, I know. And I listened to, quote unquote, reviewing purposes. And of course, I haven't been reviewing things much on nerdtertainment.com, but I do plan to put a review on that. And guess what? It was actually pretty good. I'm sorry.
Hey, teach your own, man.
As far as boy bands go, it's actually a decent CD.
Did you just say that?
It's no Menudo.
No, Todd, it's no Menudo.
But what other CD did you listen to this week?
I listened to Aerosmith's new CD.
Yeah, how was that? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well...
Same old Aerosmith?
Well, I don't want to say same old Aerosmith because that would have been pleasurable.
No way.
But it's not as bad as the stuff that came out after Eat the Rich. But it's nowhere near as good as Eat the Rich
before. You know what, man? And I'm pretty sure that Todd can attest to this. But for some reason, 4 or 5 years ago, even Pump or Eat the Rich and all the ones before that, I just got tired of listening to them. I cannot listen to Aerosmith anymore. The way they play, the way they sing, everything about them, I'm just like, ah, God, no more, please.
And I can easily understand where that comes from.
I mean, it's just the same old bullshit. I mean, well, just the same old, same old. Right, Todd?
Yes, exactly.
What is your opinion on that?
The only thing I really like is their first CD now. Anything from when he actually had a voice.
Like Dream On?
Early days. No, early.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That,
even before Dream On, yeah.
Wow.
The first CD or two.
But now, just for those who don't know, the Todd's credentials is he's seen about every fucking band on the market. He's been to every show. The guy's has stories because he's fucking old.
He's even older than me, okay? And I'm 38, so.
That ought to tell you something.
But I love Dream On, though. That's one of my favorite.
Yes.
If not.
I can't know.
If not my ultimate favorite Aerosmith song.
Yeah. Dream On!
That was his voice, as far as I'm concerned.
But as far as their new CD, it's just, I don't want to say it's disappointing because I did not expect much.
You didn't go there with expectations.
I went into that one with very, very, very low expectations. But I wouldn't buy it if I were you out there.
No.
But let me tell you, it's not as bad as the stuff that came out after Eat the Rich. But,
nah, man.
But then again, the stuff that came after Eat the Rich, it doesn't say much to begin with.
That's not, you're not comparing much there.
Yeah. In other words, if you're thinking about buying the new Aerosmith CD, don't, okay? I did the work for you. Just take my word for it, please. Spare your ears. It's just not that great. So, but we're going to get into some things that we didn't get into last podcast.
Which is the...
Well, one of the things we're going to talk about, and I'm not going to get too extensively into it.
Which one?
And because the fact that by the time this podcast comes out, this is already going to be out, and that's the Wii U launch. Mm-hmm. And it's right now it's close to midnight already on Saturday night. And so the Wii U is going to be out literally in minutes from now. And I know Ruben didn't have too much thoughts on it.
I didn't even know it was coming out until a week ago when you told me about it.
Yeah, so... But I know a lot of you out there listening do have a vested interest in the Wii U and would probably like some thoughts on it. And I guess I'm the only one that would really have a real opinion.
Well, I mean, unless, you have a real opinion, but you got to try it out too. Todd?
I haven't looked at it. I haven't really checked any much out with it. It's got to beat the PS Vita, first of all.
That's what you said,
what? To do. The PS Vita.
Really? You really like the PS Vita?
I haven't really dealt with it a whole lot, but as far as beating it, the Wii U's got a long lot to do.
You see, I have a hard time of agreeing with that because the fact that the Wii U is actually bringing out something new like they did with the Wii. The Wii brought out something new when it had the motion controllers.
What's the difference between the Wii U and the Wii?
Well, see, the Wii U is going to have the... It's like a control pad with its own screen. HD screen on it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's like a DS on steroids.
Basically.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
How's
that?
I know my buddy Isaiah wouldn't like to hear it put that way, but but in a way, I can see because it does have its own screen on the controller. Yeah. But This screen is actually going to be interactive with what's going to go on the screen.
You're playing on two screens.
Really?
Yes. Just like the DSS 2, the double screen 3D.
Yeah.
Same deal, but you have a main screen on the TV, and you have a screen in your hand that's just your controller.
That's cool as shit.
It's weird.
No, come on.
It's going to be cool, but I need to...
I'll tell you what, when I got the 3DS, or Maloney got the 3DS, mm-hmm. that kind of that jacked with me a little bit in my eyes. It took me a minute. It took me a while to get used to that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We were playing Mario Kart, and I was just like, ah.
Exactly.
I love... You see, the thing is, when it comes to 3DS, I love the 3DS.
Oh, I'm totally for that. That's fun.
One of the games to play on the 3DS is Kid Icarus.
I got that right there.
Dude.
I got that sitting right there, and guess what?
You never played it.
Fuck no.
Dude, you need to play the Kid Icarus Uprising because that's one of the other games I've been playing recently, and it's everything.
You know what? I would, but my favorite, I still keep playing my most favorite game to play, which is with myself.
But with the Kid Icarus Uprising, it's everything a 3DS game should be. I mean, you're using the stylus on the...
Well, I tell you what, it's one thing I always like about Nintendo, what they've done is on their DS systems, they have really, like, a lot of eye-hand coordination.
Yeah.
That's how you say it. I like it's educational, it's a brain teaser. It makes you think. I like that.
Well, 3DS will make your hands hurt because you're actually using...
More than my wiener?
Yes. You're actually using everything. You got to use both hands.
I do that already.
I like the other way. Where he just uses the tweezers. So, but
it still requires hand movement.
But as far as the Wii U goes, one of the games that I'm really looking forward to play, and those who know me through the IGN network, is Bayonetta 2.
Never heard of the first one.
Well, I talked about Bayonetta in the first one. The one about where the chick is kicking everybody's ass and there's Fly Me to the Moon playing throughout the whole game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Dude, that tap on my shoulder was so gay.
I didn't tap you on your shoulder.
But
you listen to the new Direction CD. You have like no room to talk. Hey, okay. And Aerosmith.
Once again, for review purposes.
You still listen to the new Direction CD, Richard. You can review other CDs.
But then again, that's basically all I got to say about the Wii U, though. I mean, it's something fresh, something new, something we haven't seen before.
It's going to be fun. It's Nintendo. They do a good job with their consoles.
Exactly. So. And Nintendo always brings out new things. And people diss Nintendo saying that it's for kids and stuff like that. You know what? Screw that idea.
That's a lot of fun, though.
There's a lot of fun with Nintendo. They bring fresh things, and I can't wait to play it.
Soccer moms like it, too. Come on.
Yeah.
Soccer moms are hot.
I like soccer moms.
They got to do their workouts.
On my face. Anyway. God almighty, I'm drunk. Anyway.
But this particular episode is going to be basically an ode to movies.
Well, sure. I don't know about an ode to movies. It's more of a movie review.
Well, I wasn't saying movie review, but anyway. Well.
Okay, real quick though.
Is a movie edition of the podcast.
Yes, movie edition. And what the real question is, and the good news is, we have the Todd here because he and I had a conversation that stems back to the last podcast, which Todd.
Yes.
Favorite Bond.
More.
Why?
Because that's what I grew up with in Connery.
Okay. But you have yet to see Daniel Craig.
Doesn't matter. Still not Roger Moore.
Wow.
Wow, man.
Wow.
That guy's a hardcore Bond fan.
Storyline has nothing to do with it. Storyline's great on new movies. Special effects are obviously way better than Moonraker, all the other stuff.
Moonraker was still pretty good, though.
What the fuck is space? What do you expect?
Yeah, I know.
Jaws was in it.
Jaws. Fuck yeah, oh, Jaws. On it, man. That's right.
You know what?
He's one of the best villains ever.
Him and Oddjob, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I am so hoping they bring another Jaws-type character
but that would be cartoonish if they did that.
Doesn't matter.
No, it
would. That would be like the submarine car.
Doesn't matter.
I like Jaws. Jaws was great.
Yes.
Nah, don't touch that. Don't touch Jaws.
Which is the one where Jaws got stuck in that big magnet by his teeth?
Because Jaws was in two of them.
Was that on Moonraker?
Yes, he was in another one. I think it was Moonraker. I'm not positive.
I like Jaws. Oh, which one was the one where they were in New Orleans with the voodoo? It was Moore.
Wasn't Octopussy? It was
no Octopussy was actually the first Bond movie I ever saw.
Oh, really?
Really?
That's the first one I saw on HBO.
You know what's funny about Octopussy is what I remember most vividly when watching it for the first time.
Live and Let Die. Don't mean to interrupt you again, but Live and Let Die is the one where he goes. He runs across the Gators.
Yeah.
It's in New Orleans and the voodoo.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
and let die. Oh.
That's a Rose's
game. Well, actually, Paul McCartney's Wings. Paul McCartney's Wings that sang that song. But one of the things I remember most from Octopussy, I don't know why, but it's when the one guy just peeled the skin off his thumb.
I don't remember that.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Todd?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Todd remembers.
Yeah.
It was on Octopussy, and I don't know why that sticks out most. But anyways, I'm rambling on. But I'm with Tom when it comes.
I'm with Moore. But up until now, Moore was my favorite.
When it comes with Roger Moore, because you grew up with him, Todd grew up with him, I grew up with Roger Moore, and that's who I remember most vividly is Roger Moore.
Yeah.
And of course, we already had the conversation about Timothy Dalton. You know,
don't even bring that up. Yeah. That doesn't exist in my book.
And Pierce Brosnan, who you, Ruben, loved.
I wouldn't say loved, but I appreciated
it.
But I couldn't get as much into Pierce Brosnan as y'all could.
Well, fair enough.
And Daniel Craig is just, he's just something.
He's awesome, man.
Which the Todd hasn't even had a chance to appreciate yet.
No.
And I don't think he cares to appreciate it yet.
No.
One day he will.
One day he will. You're going to have to rape him first.
I might go see Skyfall.
Dude, you really, it's...
Yeah. I hear it's the best Bond ever.
That's what I heard.
So.
Can't wait to see it.
But,
All right, well, I guess we're going to start off with our top five movies growing up.
Okay, well, first of all, let's give a disclaimer here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got it because we excluded a few movies.
We purposely, from our list, excluded
Star Wars
and Indiana Jones because in our books, they are automatic defaults. So it's just unfair to the other movies.
Yeah, I mean, everything would be like 1 through 5 would be either Star Wars or Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
It'd be just annoying.
So in our nerdy book, those movies are just default movies.
Yeah.
And we just feel that we should just press on to the lesser movies against these movies that we're about to mention.
Yeah. So anyway, go ahead, Rich. What is yours?
Okay, well, first we're going to get with some of our classic movies growing up.
Yeah, that's the first list.
Okay, well, one of them I'm going to start off with, and then, of course, you can throw in after I throw this one in. One of my most classic movies growing up was The Lost Boys.
Yes. Ooh, good call on that one, man.
Yeah.
Good call.
I mean, okay, before there was all these little lovey-dovey romantic vampire movies, there was movies like...
Keith Sutherland scared the shit out of you.
Was so great in that movie,
yeah,
wasn't he?
And Jason Patrick wasn't a pussy yet, either.
Yeah. Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen until Speed 2.
Yeah, God almighty.
Or Rush. Rush was horrible.
I never saw Rush. But one thing did come good out of Rush, though. Tears in Heaven.
Okay, I gotta give Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lost Boys, I think it was probably one of the best vampire movies out there. Just the fact they didn't play on the whole...
A lot of the vampire norms now came from that movie, which is you got to invite them in the house, and you know, stuff like that came from Lost Boys, so yeah.
And how great was Corey Feldman in that one?
The Coreys were good. That's back when the Coreys were the Coreys.
And then, of course, Corey Haim was one of the main characters on there, and, you know, God rest his soul, that fat ass died.
My number five, I had to say, is The Princess Bride.
Oh,
I love that movie.
Good call.
That is a good movie.
Good call. Princess Bride was so great.
Yep.
Mandy Patinkin as Inigo Montoya.
Yep.
Yes. Andre the Giant was my favorite.
Andre the Giant was good. And Billy Crystal was good in that movie,
my
too.
My favorite wrestler of all time.
Carrie Ewells. I mean, the movie is just good. I mean, honestly, ask yourself, every time it's on TV, do you not watch it?
I own the DVD.
You know what?
So do I. And I own the DVD and I still watch it when it's on TV.
Yeah, I tell you that. When I'm flipping through channels and when The Princess Bride is on, I stop.
Watch it.
I stop right there.
Yeah.
I mean, why keep on scrolling through the TV channels?
No, I agree, but what's your number four?
My number four... Well, really, I didn't put them in a particular order.
Oh, okay. Well, just what's your next one?
My next one is The Goonies.
Damn, I didn't even think about that
Same
one.
Same time around as Lost Boys.
Exactly. And what y'all are going to notice is my choices, Tex Rich's choices are going to be the movies that came out around the same time.
80s.
And I know Todd remember Goonies.
Mine are a little different.
Because, dude, I mean, Sean Astin when he was...
Oh, dude, I mean, it's a Corey's... It's one of the Corey's... It's Data?
Data?
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's... I mean, come on.
Kiwi Kwan?
Cacarochas and cocaína.
Oh, dude. Corey's film was so hilarious in that one, dude. When he's...
Mouth.
When he's...
The Truffle Shuffle was born there.
When he's translating to Rosarita, the maid.
That's right.
Who is the... Played by the late Lupe Ontiveros, who played Yolanda Saldivar.
Who? Gives a shit. But anyway, go ahead.
No, seriously, though. Lupe Ontiveros, who played Yolanda Saldivar.
My hero.
Oh, no, Selena. Your hero. Yolanda, right. Your hero for killing Selena. And,
okay, that's a disclaimer. And okay, of course, I'm not. Okay.
She was also a voice on The Family Guy. Oh, the Mexican maid.
No.
He not here.
But the
Goonies is a classic.
That's
movie.
A good call, buddy.
And I would like to think everybody listening to this has seen the Goonies.
They gotta love it.
And if you haven't, shame on you. It is a must see. It is a cultural icon movie.
Started a lot, dude. Hey you guys.
Hey you guys. Oh,
you can't
Sloth.
Get a Baby Ruth without thinking
Sloth.
About that.
Sloth. And I'm sorry, but if you ever seen an ugly baby, and there are lots of ugly babies out there in the world,
yeah,
you think of Sloth.
Sloth.
I mean, come on. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. But now, the next one on my list to bring up is Point Break.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
It's one of the ultimate surfer movies.
Johnny Utah.
It's one of the ultimate it's just a great movie. The towel behind it is good. The whole... It really uncovers the surfing culture quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I liked it. And plus, it was good action. And one of the greatest stunts ever made. I mean, hell, the Nitro Boys Travis Pastrana redid that stunt, which is when Keanu Reeves went flying out of the airplane without a parachute.
How great is Travis Pastrana when he's doing his stunts?
That's fucking awesome.
I love Travis Pastrana.
You know, they came out with a movie called... Nitro Circus movie. It's on. Get on your Netflix.
Yes, on Netflix.
Oh, is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
I gotta watch it because that's
on my queue to watch next. Actually,
nice. I'll probably watch that when I get home.
But anyway, what's your next one, buddy? What?
Hey, Tom, do you have any movies out there that you want to throw in?
I grew up. Car movies, Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball.
Smokey and the Bandit,
Cannonball Run.
Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run.
Yes, good call.
These bleeds.
Have you seen our car? Where's he gonna sit?
I love Smokey and the Bandit for the reason that if I'm at my parents' house and I'm sitting with my dad and he's flipping through channels.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a.
And
yeah.
He comes across Smokey and the Bandit and he stops, and I don't mind him stopping at that.
Oh yeah, it's another one of those movies you watch it.
Yeah, because me and my pops, we can watch Smokey and the Bandit freaking all day long. Now, the sequels, we could do without. But the first
one... Second one wasn't too bad.
But the third one was horrible. No Burt Reynolds in the third
Reynolds.
One. Okay,
the third one had the Knight Rider kit car.
Yeah.
Knight Rider Trans Am.
It was bad. It was bad.
Todd knows his cars, by the way. But Cannonball Run was another good one.
But how beautiful was Sally Field back in that day?
Awesome.
She was so hot.
Oh, my God.
She was so hot back in the day. I just want to go back into the early 70s.
And Burt Reynolds' mustache.
And Burt Reynolds' mustache.
You know, the funny thing is, so many people have tried to rock the mustache but have failed. But not Burt Reynolds.
And his gum chewing.
The way he talks.
Yeah. And that laugh.
Jackie Gleason.
Oh, Jackie.
That's right.
Remind me to kick your mama's ass.
Yeah. That's what I was going to mention. He goes, boy, remind me to kick your mama's ass when we get home.
Big Enos, Little Enos.
But that was so great.
So good.
So what's your next one, buddy?
My next one I want to say is, you might have it in your list because I saw it in your DVD collection. is Monster Squad.
You know what? No.
You don't have that? No?
No.
You know what?
The problem is I saw that movie a couple years ago when I bought it and totally cheesed out for me.
Really? Well, you didn't see it when you were a kid, though, did you?
I did see it when I was a kid. No, I saw it again recently. It just totally ruined it for me.
Wow, well, screw you then.
No, fuck you too. The next one I got to go with is Cobra. Sylvester Stallone.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot about that
one. You forgot about that one. That's another one. You flip through the challenge like, oh, it's on.
I love the part where...
Dude, the part when the one of the best
cars... The part when the car is involved is perfect.
Thank you very much, Todd. When it hits the nitro, oh.
I love the part with the Mexicans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, it's bad for you.
Yeah, what no. is, pinche? And then he rips his t-shirt down. Me. But anything that helps, that makes cholos look bad is good enough in my book, because I hate cholos. Unless there's any of y'all listening that are cholos, I love you guys. But in general, I hate cholos. But damn, Cobra's a good one.
That is a good one.
Well, one thing I just thought it was hilarious is when the lady cop that I was working with, that was working with the bad guys, the killers.
Oh, yeah, she's ugly.
She rear-ends that other lady, and the lady's like, what's wrong with you? Have you been drinking? And then she just goes, yes. And I'm just like, oh, lady, you're dead.
I love the beginning when he goes to negotiate with the guy holding up the convenience store.
That was great. That was so freaking great.
But the car made that movie for me. Yeah. More than anything.
Well, just...
That 51 Mercury, is it, Todd?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just out of respect for Cobra... I just want to say is, you're the disease.
And I'm the cure.
And he strikes a match on his gun. And, that dude was bad.
Which one? Raising Arizona.
Oh, good call.
The Coen brothers.
Good call.
The Coen brothers, man. That's so great. That's their first one, isn't it? I think if it's not their first, it's one of their first
ones. That was a good one. Cage, that brought Cage under the scene.
Man.
Yes. And another Cage is gone in 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of Eleanor.
I'll give you that one.
Angelina Jolie.
Rather see the car than Angelina Jolie.
I'd rather see Angelina Jolie.
Your head right there, buddy. I'll tell you what, the next one I got is, actually it's your turn.
Commando.
Oh,
good call.
Commando.
Original?
The original Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger and a very young Alyssa Milano.
She's still hot.
She's so freaking hot now. But that's when I first developed a crush on... She was my first Hollywood crush.
Really?
Yes. Alyssa Milano, when Commando first came out, I was just like, whoa. Well, of course, I think Who's the Boss was out before it.
Yes.
But I was living overseas in Okinawa.
Yeah.
And of course, Armed Forces Network didn't have Who's the Boss yet. So the first time I saw Alyssa Milano was on Commando, and I was just like, "I love her! I love her flat chest!" And all that. I was like 11 or 12 at the time. Okay, so
you know, I actually have to admit, Christina Ricci and Casper, in Adam's Family.
Yeah.
That was my first, and at that time she's my age. I was 10 years old. Yeah,
exactly.
But she was. Yeah, she was hot to me. But the next movie I gotta go with...
When Christina Ricci got hot for me was Black Snake Moan.
Oh, she was good.
Yeah.
That and 200 Cigarettes.
I never did see that one.
It was a good movie. But the next one for me is Clash of the Titans.
Oh! How did I miss that one?
Original.
The original Clash of the Titans.
With Harry Hamlin.
Yes. Yep.
That was... You know what? Andromeda was so beautiful back then.
Right?
The actress who played Andromeda, she was... I had not seen an actress more beautiful than her in the early 80s.
I agree.
And because, let's face it,
early 80s? I thought it was late 70s.
No, it was early 80s.
Early 80s. Okay.
But you may not be able to attest, Ruben, but Todd can attest to this, that chicks in early 80s, they just weren't that beautiful.
No. A lot of makeup back then from the pictures.
They weren't really gorgeous. But when... When Princess Andromeda came onto the screen, that was like a new kind of beauty.
I just remember all the special effects when he's fighting the wolves and he's taking on Medusa. And, I mean, just that really brought special effects to me as a kid, because I mean, the claymation is just
fucking awesome. As a kid, it's different than it is now.
I want to tell you, please do not watch it in high def then.
We have.
Oh, no.
It's not very good.
When you watch it in high def, it just ruins it for you.
I have it on, well, see, here's the thing. I get to watch my PlayStation Word Up converts it.
Yeah.
And I've...
It's bad enough.
Yeah, you'll see, you can see the outlines when they're in front of the green screen. Yeah, it's just... It totally kills it for you if you see it in high def.
I still watch it on VCR tape.
Yeah, I'd rather watch
it. I have a VCR still works.
He doesn't even want to watch it on DVD.
I'm with Todd on that one. I am with Todd.
I want to see the grains.
I do too.
But that one...
Fool me. I'll buy it.
Yeah, you do not want to see that one in high def because it's just going to ruin it for you.
Todd, you got another one?
Not yet. Yeah,
okay. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, my next one is going to be Rambo.
You know what? The funny thing is,
First Blood Part 2. Not the fourth Rambo movie that came out, but Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Honestly, it's funny you said it because one of the honorable mentions for me is Predator.
Oh, and, I love Predator.
And Top Gun. But we'll get into the honorable mentions in a minute. But Rambo's a good one. The Part 2, I have to go with Sandlot.
Wow, Sandlot. Of course, I was already an adult when Sandlot came
Fair enough. Out. I mean, but, I was 16, I think.
But you were still a teenager.
That counts for me.
That was a really good movie.
That was a good movie.
I really, really enjoyed that movie.
It's just a good all-around movie.
It's a classic. Please do not watch the sequels, because they suck.
I have Part 2.
Yeah, they suck.
It's not too bad, but it's not the first one.
And then I know about the third one. It's Squints telling a story.
I didn't even know they had a third one.
I didn't know they had a third one.
Yeah, and the third one, Squints is telling a story.
That's sad.
As an adult. Speaking of Squints...
I know a guy named Squints.
we all know Squints. But the character Squints, the actor that played him, he was actually on Freaks and Geeks.
Really?
Huh. He was the bully.
I never seen Freaks and Geeks.
He was the... Did you ever watch Freaks and Geeks, Todd?
Huh.
Oh, okay. Well, those of you who watched Freaks and Geeks, the bully who picked on the kid that ended up playing Mitch on Waiting, that's Squints.
Oh, okay.
Huh. So, but... If you haven't seen Freaks and Geeks, it's a great show. It's by Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
And so we're familiar by his movies. But let's go on to honorable
mentions. As I said, honorable mentions for me is Predator, Top Gun, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really about it. And then what was the other Sylvester? Rocky.
Okay, well, let's go back to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, okay?
Yeah, Rocky 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm sorry, I like Rocky 4.
Let's go back to Roger Rabbit, though.
Yeah.
Who did not want to bone Jessica Rabbit, even though she was a cartoon?
Right? I have it on VCR tape, and I still watch it, and on DVD.
How sexy is she?
She's still hot.
I mean...
It doesn't matter.
Her voice kills it, dude. Kathleen Turner?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Let's just imagine Kathleen Turner's voice holding out her body.
And back in the day, Kathleen Turner was
back
hot.
In the day, but this ain't back in the day.
Yeah,
this
is
today. I got Honorable Cool World.
Nice.
Oh,
nice. Good call.
You
want to
talk about hot girls?
I wanted to bang,
the cartoon.
Hot anime girls, yeah.
But talk about really breaking Brad Pitt out.
That was a good movie.
That movie did break Brad Pitt out into the movie world.
Well, Thelma and Louise actually did a good job. And 12 Monkeys, he was good.
Well, 12 Monkeys came out after.
Did it?
Yeah.
I thought it was before.
No, it was after. 12 Monkeys was great, too.
12 Monkeys was great. All right.
Let me get to my honorable mentions.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I got four honorable mentions. One of them being Die Hard.
Oh, good call.
Yes.
I mean, who does not love John
Willis?
McClane?
Yeah. John Wayne?
McClane.
Oh, sorry.
Tim Burton's Batman.
Ooh, good one.
Yes.
Nightmare. Nightmare's another honorable mention, gotta be.
Terminator.
Good call.
Yes.
And Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
Ah, that's
one of my favorites.
Okay, that's coming up on another list for me. But okay.
I love me some Mia Sara.
Oh no!
Oh, how beautiful is she?
I'm digging in the '80s.
And that, go ahead, Todd.
I'm gonna dig way back. Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles.
That's a good call, man.
A lot of people don't like those, but
no, those are good movies.
Those
are good movies.
Those are great movies. So.
I mean, and so was what was the other one?
You know, on 16 Candles...
Oh, well, Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club was great.
That's huge, yes.
But so going back to 16 Candles, though, the kid, the little bratty brother... That kid was so freaking awesome. And would you believe, and I don't know if you might remember this, Ruben, but I know Todd probably will remember this, the movie Kramer versus Kramer.
Yes,
I remember
that. Was the kid on Kramer versus Kramer.
Was it really?
Yeah.
No shit. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember seeing
Kramer versus Kramer. Yeah, he was Molly Ringwald's bratty little brother, and that little fat bastard was hilarious in that movie.
Well, let's move on to our all-time top five. And this I thought
we were going into comedies next.
We're
going
to go to comedies?
Yeah, that's
right.
Comedies,
yeah, because that's actually a pretty big list. All right.
Number five.
Now, my number five is Twilight. No, I'm just kidding. That's a great comedy.
You took me for a loop there.
Yeah, butt-hooked you.
You butt-hooked me. I know we're going to
No, number five is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
That is so great. I love it. Okay, are you ready for it? Let's do it.
What?
Lion face. Ah, lion face. Ooh, lion face. Ah, lion face. Ooh. Jay and Silent Bob is a great pick.
That's one of those you can listen to, you watch it every time, and you find something new every time, and you can quote it like there's just no tomorrow.
Which one?
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
How about Clerks?
Clerks is great.
Clerks is good, but I love Jay and Silent
Bob.
Jay and
Silent Bob
is good. Would you say number five for you, Todd, is Clerks?
Probably.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich.
My number five is Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes.
That's a good one.
What you're going to notice about me, what's going to differ from Ruben's, mine are going to be a lot older movies because I have 6 years on him. And then, of course, Todd has 6 years plus two more after that. But, oh my goodness, Revenge of the Nerds, I mean, this movie made it cool to be a nerd.
Yes.
It did, man. The fact that, dude, I'll never forget, that was like, dude, when he takes that chick in the back in the moonwalk, that was
Betty
like,
Childs.
When I was a kid.
How beautiful was Betty Childs?
When I was a kid, that was porn to me, man.
Yeah.
It was.
Okay, if we're going there, let's go Porky's.
Ooh!
Porky's.
Oh, my goodness.
Porky's Revenge.
And Porky's Revenge.
All three Porky's movies were great.
Which my son will soon find out about.
Oh, yes, he will. He'll love
I do remember after Jennifer and I were recently married back in the 1900s. back in 98 when we got married, one of the first movies we watched together on HBO in our apartment in Louisiana, HBO showed a Porky's triple feature. All three. Porky's, Porky's 2 the next day, and Porky's Revenge, all back to back. And oh my goodness, the two of us just laughed so hard, and then we just... Well, I don't want to say what happened after watching the movies.
Uh-huh. There was some porking after Porky's.
But my oldest son was somewhat created somewhere around that time, I guess.
Back then, they got away with way more...
You could be more risque back then.
It's kind of strange because nowadays, should be opposite.
You know what trips me out is if you go back and look at the old Looney Tunes... what they got away with, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking risque, but I'm talking as far as a slapstick and, like, political...
Well, they weren't
underlines.
Really, yeah.
I mean, with the war and everything that was going on with their mate. Yeah.
In the 60s.
But, anyway, go on. Number four for me is Mallrats.
Mallrats is great. Oh, you're sticking with the whole Kevin Smith motif.
Well, I mean, they're just good. I mean, those are good movies.
It's Kevin Smith's dialogue is just so great.
It is, and his jokes are good. You got to think about his jokes. They make it. I mean, they're funny.
The timing.
If you're a nerd, his jokes are perfect. You know,
One of my favorite things is when
fly fast, fly.
Oh no, when Brody says,
"Ooh, it's listening."
Don't think a man can't fight just because he reads comics. And I fall into that category, okay? I love comics, but I also love fighting. Although I haven't been in a fight in a long time. And I tried so hard tonight, dude.
Yeah, you did. You were going for it, too.
I tried so hard tonight. Yeah. But I just love the fact when Brody says that. It was like, don't think a man can't fight just because he reads comics. And you don't know how bad I want to use that line.
Oh. What's your number four, Rich?
My number four is Blues Brothers.
That's a good call.
You know, John Belushi, yes. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, funny stuff.
White toast. whole chicken.
White toasted bread.
Yep.
Plain white toasted bread in a whole chicken. And just the songs in there were hilarious, the way they did them.
Yep.
It's a musical, but it's a musical done in a very, very different way. It's done in a very SNL.
Yeah.
Well, because the Blues Brothers originally are an SNL.
Yeah.
But they did a good job with them. I guess my number three I have to go with is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, that, of course, that was one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah. So that's definitely on there. Everything about it's funny. Yeah. It's who you want when you're growing up. That's who you want to be.
Yeah.
And it's what you want to get away
with.
And
of course, once again, I wanted me a Sarah so bad.
That's exactly it.
Ever since Legend. Ever since she was
a superstar. She was so fucking hot in Legend.
Oh, my goodness. I just wanted to kick Tom Cruise in the mouth and just grab me a
Sarah. I don't know, but I'll never forget that. What was that demon team?
Tim Curry.
That scared the shit out of me.
Why does Tim Curry have to play some of the worst things? He plays that freaking devil thing. He plays the clown. And I hate... Oh, my gosh. I freaking hate clowns.
We know.
I hate... But
he's so good at it.
Yeah, he is. He's good at playing creepy characters. I mean, come on. He was on Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Hey, that's a classic right there, buddy. Clue.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Clue, man. Good call there, Todd.
Yep. But that was your number three?
Yep.
My number three is Animal House.
Oh, yes. Wow. Good guy. How did I forget about that one?
So once again, John Belushi.
Yeah.
But, not just John Belushi, but Tim Matheson was hilarious as Otter.
Yep. And then what was Otter's friend name? His sidekick.
I can't remember his sidekick's name.
He was good.
The one that they had the girl that ended up going for Donald Sutherland.
The same chick that was in the Indiana Jones movie.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was her.
That was her.
Heck, yeah. And then that fat dude... Flounder.
Doomsday.
I love when Dean Warmer tells Flounder, being drunk, fat, and stupid is no way to go through it. It's no way to live your life.
I can attest that. Yes, it is.
Well, you're not as fat anymore. You're hardly ever drunk.
But number two, scary movie.
Scary.
Sorry, that movie's just fucking hilarious.
It is. So there, and we just had a freaking conversation about shaving and not shaving.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the part when what's his face pulls
when
out.
She comes and forces and throws him on the wall, that's one of the funniest things ever. Come on, Bobby.
What's hilarious when he takes off her panties and the bats fly out. And the big
dude had baby dick.
The big bush comes out. But my number, what are we at, number two?
Yep.
Is Dumb and Dumber.
Really?
You know what? If I'm in a bad mood...
Fair enough.
In fact, already a few days ago I was in a bad mood. And guess what I put on to put me in a happy mood? This movie and plus my number one, which I'll reveal later. Because Dumb and Dumber is just hilarious. Some of the one-liners that are in there.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it comes with Petey the Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty Bird.
And you know what? Speaking of one-liners and the best movie for one-liners and the best movie comedy of all time for me is Basketball.
Oh, my dude.
Yeah, you didn't think of that one, did you?
Dude. You got a point,
Todd, have you seen that, Todd? That's a great movie, man.
We saw it in Drunken Stupor one night.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Talk about
this. Speaking of Drunken Stupor's honorable mention, just say this real quick, is Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
How did I forget that one?
Yeah. And
oh, my God, I can't stop.
It feels so good. The other honorable mention is, Sex Drive.
That's a funny movie.
That's a little cult movie right
And of course, we had this conversation earlier, the three of us, about that movie. Is I watched the unrated version, which had the outtakes in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
And they kept them in the movie. And oh my goodness, that just made it that much funnier. Especially mm-hmm. Seth Green when they're in the little cart. Seth Green is just freaking hilarious. But
who's your number one?
My number one.
That was gay.
Yeah, I know. Blazing Saddles.
Oh, damn it. I forgot about that. How the hell did I forget about that?
I'm sorry.
I have a VCR tape.
So do I. It's right there in the closet.
I have it on Blu-ray.
I didn't even gone that far.
But I cannot think of a movie that is funnier than Blazing Saddles.
Actually, you're right.
It has a direct humor and a dry humor.
Well, Richard Pryor wrote that.
Richard Pryor co-wrote it with Mel Brooks. And, oh my goodness, they pushed the envelope when it came to racial jokes.
I think the racial jokes was all
Richard
Pryor.
Yeah.
I think that was all Pryor.
That was all Pryor. Because I actually saw an interview of Mel Brooks talking about him and Richard Pryor putting the script together.
And Mel Brooks was like, I don't know, I don't feel comfortable with this.
Yeah.
And Richard Pryor was like, shit, it's funny. Let's just put it in. And so I'm like, this is so, because Richard Pryor was so comfortable with.
What do you mean? That's how he made his money.
Yeah, he was so comfortable with racial stereotypes that he didn't mind joking about it. He didn't get mad when people joked about it.
Yeah.
And one of the funniest scenes in cinema is Madeline Kahn's musical number, I'm Tired.
Oh, yeah.
It's just perfect. Yeah. But that's with our comedy. Yeah. Now, let's go with our top five ever.
Okay. That's a good place for me to start. Let's go with Remember the Titans for me.
Remember the Titans. That was when every grown man in their 20s knew that Hayden Panettiere was going to grow up to be a hottie.
I honestly never even knew that was her. I just saw as a little girl, just the movie itself is just a good movie. You know what I mean?
It was a really good movie. But it was a typical Disney movie, and you just knew what the outcome was going to be just because it was a Disney movie.
Yeah, you did. True. But Denzel Washington's in it. What's the other guys in it? A lot of good actors are in it. So.
But you know what? That's the last movie that Jennifer and I saw together as a couple before Caleb was born.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I saw that movie on a date, but anyway.
But that was a good movie, though.
What you got there for number five?
My number five is Excalibur.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. I just downloaded that song on my iTunes.
Carmina Burana.
Uh-huh.
How great is that song?
That's a great song.
That's just...
But no, Excalibur, that's a great movie.
I mean, come on, King Arthur.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, the violence that was in that movie was something that... And was 81 when that movie came out?
Yeah.
You didn't see that kind of violence much.
No, you didn't. It was pretty gory for 81.
Yeah, and I don't like it just because it was violent. I just like it because it really pushed the envelope into...
Well, they said, we're going to go out and do this story. We're going to do it right, and we don't give a fuck what anybody thinks.
Exactly. And
that's a great thing to think about it.
And there has not been a better King Arthur movie
than that. No, my number four is Goodfellas. Scorsese at his best right there, man.
Yeah, I love Scorsese.
Good story. There's truth behind it, which is, in case you can't tell, a lot of truth, you know. There was actually
a Henry Hill.
Yeah.
The man was actually in hiding when this movie came out.
Yep.
He's probably, as of today, maybe he's died of old age.
Yeah, no one knows.
But as far as I know, that he's probably still in hiding right now.
But it's a good movie. It shows the mob. I mean, I'm big on the East Coast mob scene.
I like that.
I like that history. So,
and Joe Pesci was so great in that movie.
Fuck yeah,
Joe Pesci made.
And Robert De Niro was good in that movie.
I love Robert De Niro. I think he's one of the greatest actors ever. But that movie does not succeed as well without Joe Pesci.
Well, I mean, that really was what broke Joe Pesci out.
Yeah,
I mean that made him.
Of course, he was on Easy Money, and I loved him on Easy Money.
Yeah, but I mean.
That would have been one of my honorable mentions in my comedies.
But what's your number four?
My number four is the God. I can't just say one of the Godfather movies. I gotta say the whole series.
That's a good call.
The whole Godfather series.
Shit, that's a good call.
And I dare anybody to argue with me on a better gangster movie than the Godfather.
Nope, I can't argue with you on that one.
Because I just love the way I love the Vito Corleone character the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just the fact that he never wanted to get into drugs. He had his own.
Well, he's old school gangster, man.
Yeah, he was old school, and of course we saw when drugs came into play in the third one.
Yeah.
And how it started really breaking up the Corleone family.
Yeah.
And I love the Godfather series. It's just the way gangsters.
Yeah.
It's believable.
It's when you hear about old school gangsters and you hear about the old country and, you know, how it's supposed to be, that movie defines it.
Yeah.
Especially in the first one.
It brings a total respectability to it.
Yeah. Todd, you got this off the top of your head, one of your favorite movies?
I have lots of them. Give me a few minutes.
That's no problem. I'll go on to my number three, which is Pulp Fiction.
Great movie.
The dialogue, everything about it. It's a fiction movie, but you know what? It's just good.
You know what I love about Tarantino, though? Tarantino brings so much dialogue to movies.
Intelligent dialogue.
And you don't see that in movies too much.
No, you don't.
And Tarantino is a great writer when it comes to dialogue.
But who you got for number three, man?
My number three is Casablanca.
Oh man, old school there.
Yeah, I really went. I really took it back. Wow. I love the whole story behind it.
You know what? I still have not seen that movie.
Oh wow! I gotta let you borrow it.
Yeah, let me borrow it.
Because Rick's character, the character Rick, played by Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
He's such a respectable character. He's calm. Even when he gets angry, he's calm. And Ingrid Bergman, oh my goodness, she was so beautiful in that movie.
I gotta see that movie.
It makes me wanna wish I had a time machine just so I can go back.
And bang her.
pretty much. So Casablanca is my number three.
Number two is a little biased here, but I love it. Dark Knight. I think that's Nolan's Deer Hunter.
Okay.
It's fair. That's a little bit biased because I'm a comic book geek, especially when it comes to Batman. You know that. That was a perfect Joker. It was a perfect Batman. It was exactly what it was supposed to be. The action had never stopped.
Heath Ledger slammed the door on that character.
Yeah. I can't believe they're revamping the Batman series. I'm like, how are you going to do the Joker?
I think they're doing it because for the Justice League.
Coming up. Justice League is so gay. But anyway, number two for you, buddy.
My number two is Braveheart.
Oh, good call.
What's great is I've been intrigued by the story of William Wallace even before the movie Braveheart came out. And when I found out that they were making that movie, I was like, oh, this is going to be so great.
I remember watching it, renting it on VHS from a video store back when you could. And I remember watching that movie. I was like, man, that's a good call on that one.
It has some of the best battle scenes on cinema.
Oh, it did, man. Totally blew you away. It's like when you first watch Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
So you got your shit together until you see him, drop the gate and guys sit, what the fuck would I do in a situation like that?
When that gate comes down and you see the heads being blown off.
Yep.
And I just love the way it was written.
No, it was good. Mel Gibson at his best.
Mel Gibson at his very best. He won the Oscar for Best Director that year.
Yeah, that's right.
It won Best Picture that year.
Yeah, that's right. He won a lot of awards that year.
And did you know that the production company did not want to greenlight it unless Mel Gibson directed it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It would not have been greenlighted if he did not direct it.
Well, my number one of all time is Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Fight Club. That is such a great mind fuck.
Yes, it is.
It promotes you to go out and do better.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines or favorite situations of that movie is when he drags that convenience store clerk out and he puts a gun to his head. And he, looks at his license, figures out he has a shitty life. He's like, did you go to school? He goes, yeah. He goes, why aren't you going to school now? He goes, well, I couldn't afford it. He goes, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come back tomorrow, and if you haven't bettered yourself and improved your life, I'm going to blow your brains out. And Edward Norton looks at Brad Pitt and goes, what are you doing? He goes, tomorrow's going to be the best day of his life.
Yeah.
The sun is going to be brighter. The air is going to be cleaner. And he's going out and he's going to make something of himself. But anyway, fast forward to the end of that movie when Ed Norton is trying to chase Brad Pitt's character down, which, obviously is him.
Yeah.
And he closes the door in Brad Pitt's room at the house, and you see all those driver's license on the back of that door.
Yeah.
People who's done that too. But anyway, I mean, everything about that movie, it's a mindfuck. It makes you think. It's just one of the greatest soundtracks of all time.
Believe it or not, I have a friend in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Victor something Rushesky.
Uh-huh.
And Fight Club is one of his all time. I think it is his all time favorite movie.
My good friend of mine, he just had a kid, John. It's his favorite of all time.
Yeah.
And I too. It's just. I mean, every time I watch that movie, I notice something different.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice. I've got a few.
Bring it on, buddy.
American History X.
Oh,
Edward Norton.
That's his
best role ever.
Yep, it is. That nerd, there's first one, Fear. That was a good one.
Oh, Primal Fear.
Primal Fear. But anyway, go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry.
Shawshank Redemption.
Ooh, good call on that one. That's a good movie.
And that was before Tim Robbins became a whack job.
That was a really good movie.
Another honorable mention is Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood and Gran Torino.
Oh, Gran Torino is a great movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that at the end of Gran Torino, you hear Clint Eastwood singing at the end.
Well, he's actually a really good singer. If you ever heard of Paint This or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, he was good in that. But hey, what's your number one?
He was, my number one is Ben-Hur.
Never seen it.
Wow.
Way back there.
Wow. I think Ben-Hur is probably probably the best epic movie ever.
Wow.
And it takes place during the time of Christ.
Uh-huh.
And what's
very interesting in the movie. Have you seen Ben-Hur?
Part two, yeah.
Where so many times he comes across Jesus. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, he never mentions his name. And he never mentions what he looks like or anything. But you know just by their interaction that it's Jesus that he's that he's crossing paths with.
You're watching it.
It's a great movie. Charlton Heston, I mean.
Oh, yeah,
probably
right.
One of the best actors ever. Mm-hmm. And it's not a biblical movie, but it takes place in...
Yeah, there's references.
Yeah, there's lots of references to the movie, to the Bible, to Jesus. And
I think with that,
we'll get with our all-time...
That's it right there, buddy.
Oh, wow, man. That really went by pretty fast, huh?
Anyway, with that, I want to say thanks for listening.
But I did have one question that somebody that somebody did send in. I gotta find it first. And okay, the question comes from my buddy Jeff Oscar, who's the one that lives in New York.
Okay.
That loves Shiner Bock, but he can't have it. I had it tonight on tap, buddy. I'm sorry, but I just had to. But his question is, would the next generation of systems show an even greater decline in the stability of gaming? Well, let me give you a little backdrop, my buddy Jeff Oscar. He also goes by the nickname of I Hate Video Games.
Oh, okay.
And he really feels that video games is on a decline.
Okay.
And I can see his point.
How so?
Because there's many games out there, it's like the same stuff being fed to us over and over again,
okay,
except
fair enough.
With a different title. And I totally, totally see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But I can't really speak on like what the PS4 is going to bring or what the Xbox 720 when it comes out, what it's
going
to bring.
I don't see it as going on decline. I think it's just going to, I mean, it's getting better and better, man. It's technology at its best.
Yeah, well, I kind of agree with him that right now I think video games are at a point to where I don't see it climbing much higher. I think the most we can get is probably maybe better graphics, but man, the graphics are pretty damn good as it is already.
Yeah, you're shooting everything on a Blu-ray.
We'll get everything on a better engine, gaming engine. But as with stability decline, I don't think it's going to decline. I think eventually, I think we're going to be at a very neutral point for a while. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be...
You know, it's going to be like the late 80s, early 90s, when video games just kind of dropped off the face of the world.
Yeah.
Remember when that happened?
And everything was lateral when it came to the next system.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be like that for a while.
Well,
I think the only one that's really moving up is going to be the Wii U.
Yeah.
With its new use of the...
Yeah, because you're right. Because let's face it, when the Wii came out and
the motion controllers.
Yeah, motion controllers. I mean, Xbox came out with theirs, Kinect, mm-hmm. and then PlayStation
came out with the Move.
So I mean, yeah, I mean, Nintendo's pushing the. I mean, give them credit. They're pushing the envelope.
You know, as much as Nintendo gets bagged on a lot, Nintendo.
I can't see how people are gonna bag on
Nintendo. Is really the innovators of what comes out.
They really
because
are.
They'll come out, like I said, with this control pad. Xbox, Microsoft is working on the Microsoft Glass.
You know, I never understood the whole thing about Microsoft because they suck, dude. Xbox, I mean, just they suck.
Well, you know, I've never really played an Xbox, so I can't really make a good opinion on
it. Well, I mean, okay, you buy an Xbox, you got to buy, well, it used to be you have to buy an external hard drive.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't come on Blu-ray, so the graphics aren't as clean. The processors are slow. It's like buying a computer and buying Microsoft Word or Windows for it. And it's just, everybody says, oh, it runs faster. It's only because you're using your system itself as a server and joining other systems to it. And depending on your connection, it'll run good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When it comes to Xbox, I can't really make a fair assessment of it because
I've never played it. But for a long time, Xbox had all the games. I mean, they had all the cool games. But those days are over. You know what I mean? I mean, PlayStation still survived through that, you know?
But to answer Jeff's question, though, I do not see a decline in stability.
I know it. You're right.
It's going to be a slow climb up.
It's not going to be as fast as we've seen in past gaming generations, but I don't foresee a decline in it.
No, I think you're right. It's going to be more of a lateral move. But anyway.
But that's pretty much going to...
That's it. That's the show for this week.
For this week. Once again, I just want to give my shouts out to the Nintendrones. Once again, my buddy Isaias, he's one of my good friends on the net, and he's got a good thing going with the Nintendrones.
Sweet.
If you haven't listened to their podcast, I really suggest you listen to them. Just go to thenintendrones.wordpress.com. Once again, those of you who are local, go check out Texas Toys.
Yep.
Go on their website. If you're not local, like I said, they'll search for anything you want. They'll search for it for you.
Thank you to the Todd for being here.
Always.
Thanks to the Todd. And for providing us a great, awesome night at the Rays game.
Yeah, thanks to the Todd for that one, too. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, my buzz is already wearing off.
I know. Someone needs to go get beer.
Todd.
Yep.
And
have a good night.
And I just also want to give one more shout-out to my buddy Joe at Joe's Classic Games. And once again, those of you who are local, go check them out. And for now, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week, and hopefully even better than this week. So this is Tex Rich, 1974, signing off, saying bye, y'all.